L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies like My Date with the President's Daughter
and the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the final start sit episode of the 2020 fantasy football season. It's me, your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, for this big episode are Mike Tagliere and Kyle Yates. Find us on Twitter at DanHarris80, at Mike Tagliere NFL, and at Kyle Y NFL. Gentlemen, I mean, it's sad. It's invigorating. I'm full of emotions right now. How do you feel?
I feel good. I mean, I mentioned this in our chat the other day that we were talking, and I said that, you know, I'm looking forward to the end of the season because obviously it's just, you know, it's gotten to the point where I'm ready for it. But then I know what's going to happen. A month is going to pass and I'm going to say, I miss the NFL. That's just the way that things work. But I mean, we're happy to be here doing this, man. I know that when the year started in football, we didn't know if we would ever get to this point. So I'm really happy we made it through a full season and hopefully bringing you guys some fantasy championships.
It's really remarkable. I am a little disappointed in you, Tags. I'm not going to lie. You did not dress for the occasion. And hopefully you are listening to this, but also you should be checking us out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Because Yates has just brought his A game with today. I mean, Yates, I guess, do you want to describe what you're wearing for the people who aren't watching?
No, I think everyone's just got to go over to YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros. Check it out. This is obviously something I can only wear once a year. If I wore it more than once a year, I would be a jackass. So,
it is worth it. It is worth it. But for some reason you haven't checked out our YouTube channel yet, that's just silly. We got a lot of good stuff over there, including our Sunday morning live streams, which I am taking over for Yates on this Sunday. But really, check it out. This podcast is going to be up there. Just check it out if for no other reason than to see what Yates is wearing. Then drop us a like and subscribe to this channel while you are there. Now, before we get into it, this is one of our final shows of technically the fantasy football season. We'll still be back, of course, going forward, and we'll be back next week doing some awards, doing some fun stuff, things like that. But since this is the last one, I do want to really mention that reviews for the podcast, okay? There were, at last check, 7,839 reviews for this show on Apple Podcasts. That is amazing. Even the mean ones, that's fine. But back before I did this, when I just listened to a bunch of sports podcasts or history podcasts, really, I never left reviews ever because I was like, who cares? Why do they need my review? Whatever. I just listen. It was only after I started podcasting regularly that I kind of realized what reviews meant. More reviews, especially positive ones, help you reach a wider audience. People doing the podcast read them and make improvements based on them. We certainly do. And most importantly, it supports us. Okay. Like, we take pride in the number of reviews that we have. Back in September, we passed 7,000 reviews. A little more than 3 months later, we are knocking on the door of 7,900. Maybe 8,000, just a way of saying thank you. Thank you guys who took the time, if you listen to this, to leave us a review. If you want to support us, easy way, and you haven't yet, just drop a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. Really helps us out. Also, if you do leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, then you might as well enter our contest for December. It's giving away a signed James Robinson helmet. Again, just leave the review and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to enter. That's going to run through the end of December, so you have a little more than a week left. Boys, are you ready to do this?
Super duper ready, Dan.
Oh, man. That is what I'm talking about. That's the type of energy that's going to bring everybody some fantasy championships. Now, you know the Start Sit Show, what we usually do. We name one guy. But, you know, on the Fridays, Dan and Kyle, in the morning, we go through each matchup. I thought that's just better to do for this show. So maybe a little longer show. We've got all 16 games. But let's go through it, and I'll ask you specific questions about each player. Let us start with the Christmas Day games. That is the Vikings taking on the Saints. So you're obviously starting Dalvin Cook, even in a tough matchup, of course. But I will ask this for fun to my two Bears fans. Tags, half PPR, are you starting? You have to bench one of these guys. Are you starting Dalvin Cook against the Saints or David Montgomery against Jacksonville?
Dalvin Cook. I understand. I really do understand the idea behind David Montgomery and what he's been able to do, but I'm not ever going to sit Dalvin Cook. He just came off two straight 100-plus yard games against the Bears and the Bucks defenses. I mean, the Saints are good, but they have actually looked human the last couple weeks, so Cook.
As of right now, my early run has David Montgomery, early run of rankings has David Montgomery at 4, Dalvin Cook at 5. That could change as we move throughout the week. But as of right now, I'm going to play the matchup with David Montgomery. But I that would be a really, really tough decision where you would have to sit Dalvin Cook. And I can't imagine that you would have three of the top five players where you're having to make that decision at the running back position.
I agree. Just fun to ask because it's David Montgomery or Dalvin Cook, and that's where we are in week 16 of the NFL season. I will say that my early run of projections, the exact same fantasy points in half PPR, which means it's a toss-up, which means I will probably rank Dalvin Cook higher just because I
have he's Dalvin Cook.
I have to sleep at night, right. And yes. I think if it were me, I would start Dalvin Cook. So that's what it is. But I will say, again, just to put it out there, first run of projections, even fantasy points. So that's where we are. Tags, we talked a little bit about Adam Thielen and how he doesn't really put up the yards and he doesn't necessarily get the catches, but he's just targeted so often in the end zone that you have to start him. You're starting Adam Thielen in this matchup? No questions asked?
Yeah, I'm going to start Adam Thielen. Basically, I went through Adam Thielen's matchups against the Bears and over the history of his career. And like, I think the number was like he had never topped 66 yards in a game against the Bears. And he plays those guys twice a year. He's played the Saints three times in the last 2 years. In those games, he's finished with 7 catches for 129 yards, 7 catches for 103 yards and a touchdown, and then 6 catches for 74 yards. Obviously, Diggs was on the team during those times. You have Justin Jefferson there. Marshawn Lattimore is a guy that's going to stay firmly planted. I don't think he's going to shadow anybody. So Thielen is someone, I mean, this game does have one of the higher totals, a higher total than I thought it should have, to be honest with you. But that's basically, they know something that we don't. So we're going to go ahead and say that Thielen should be played as, I think he's a strong wide receiver too.
Yates, if you had to choose one of the wide receivers from the Vikings, Jefferson or Thielen, who are you choosing?
It's Jefferson for me. I'm going to lean on the target totals. Now, I still like Adam Thielen. I have him at 14 on the week. I have Justin Jefferson at 9, though. And again, Vikings are 7-point underdogs. So I think you're going to see more passing volume here from Kirk Cousins, and there should be more than enough for both of them to eat.
If you guys have to make the choice, of course, because it's a Friday game, so we have a lot of people are going to have to make the choice early. What if your other choice between Adam Thielen is Keenan Allen, who missed practice earlier in the week? I don't know. So there's question marks. Are you starting Thielen or are you waiting on Keenan Allen?
Thielen.
Yates.
I'll probably play Thielen as well.
Yep, I agree with that. Yates, Kyle Rudolph sounds like he's going to be out again. He's still missing practice. Any interest in Irv Smith?
As a streaming option, I've got him as a mid-range tight end too. You're thinking that, again, I just talked about 7-point underdogs, that you're thinking that there's going to be some passing volume here and that Irv Smith probably isn't going to drop another pass in the end zone, but he should be heavily targeted. So I think you can roll with him. I just don't see the path for upside in this matchup specifically.
And Tex, we've been streaming Kirk Cousins for a while, but not in this one, right?
No, if you look at the Saints and what they've allowed, basically you go back to, what is it, like week 7? Since week 7, that defense has allowed 6.39 yards per attempt. They've allowed just 212 passing yards a game, 1.1 touchdowns, 12.46 fantasy points. Obviously, that includes a game last week against Patrick Mahomes where they held him to 5.4 yards per attempt.
Yeah.
So it's not a great matchup. And for what it's worth, I don't like Irv Smith. I just wanted to say that because this matchup is terrible against the Saints. Like even if you look at DVOA, if you look at any metric out there, you look at the Saints and you remove that one game against the Raiders and back in week 2 against Darren Waller, and you say, okay, Malcolm Jenkins came over from Philadelphia and he was someone that they were kind of easing into he was kind of like learning the scheme of the defense. And once he figured that out, like this, they've been so like shut down with tight ends. They rank as the second toughest matchup in terms of schedule adjusted fantasy points allowed. So
yep.
I don't like Smith. He also hasn't top five targets, even though Kyle Rudolph has missed a game here and there. He still hasn't top five targets all season.
Yeah, we saw Conklin last week. So for me, I agree. Irv Smith is just outside my top 20 in my initial run of projections. Yates, how do you feel about Emmanuel Sanders in this game against a weak secondary?
Yeah, I think that you can absolutely look his way. I've got him as a mid-range wide receiver three, so I'm not expecting a huge blow-up performance here, but again, it's kind of the same argument that we do with a lot of these other guys. The ball's got to go somewhere. And so I think Emmanuel Sanders should see enough to return that and be a safe option for you.
Tags?
Yes. I have a question for you guys. Like, I do like Sanders as a wide receiver three. Would you rather play Emmanuel Sanders or Tyler Lockett?
Emmanuel Sanders for me, and that's pretty easy.
It's not easy for me, but they're right there. But I would prefer Sanders. But that's a good one, Tags. Those were the names I was gonna put. What about you, Tags? Are you preferring Tyler Lockett in this?
I'm really close with those guys because Yates said it was easy. Me, it's more about, like, I know Tyler Lockett has sucked and he's been. Yeah. I didn't like him last year. Last week I had him as a wide receiver three in my rankings, but this week I actually like his matchup a little bit more. Like with DK Metcalf, I don't know if you guys saw it. I saw it when it happened live, and I actually went back and rewatched it again today because I was like, did I miss that? Because no one's talking about it. But DK came down really weird on his leg in that game. I thought
he left for a little bit.
He did, but nobody's talking about it. Nobody's like, oh, we should probably lower him in the rankings because if he's not I know he came back to the game, but he only finished with what 30 some yards against Washington, and he had a better matchup on the perimeter than Lockett. So if DK's out there as some, I don't even want to say a decoy, but even if he's not 100% against Jalen Ramsey, it's a problem. The best matchup on the field is with Troy Hill in the slot. So I think that Tyler Lockett is someone that I'd give consideration to, but it's just like, I have those guys so close. I wanted to get his opinion.
What about Emmanuel Sanders? I'll go with Yates because I think Yates sounds like you and I are a little higher on Sanders this week than Tags. Sanders or Chris Godwin against Detroit?
Chris Godwin. That's not that. Chris Godwin's pretty easy for me. I've got him at 20. I've got Sanders at 29.
Okay. So I'm the high guy. Where do you have Sanders, Tags?
I have Sanders at 26, I think.
Okay, I'm at 24. So oddly enough, yeah, Tags is actually higher on Sanders than you. And Tags, is Godwin Sanders not a tough choice for you either?
You always have to worry about with the Bucs, like the fact that they're going to cannibalize each other, those wide receivers. And to be fair, ever since Antonio Brown got on the team,
right,
Godwin is the lowest on the totem pole in terms of targets. So there's definitely something there. Justin Coleman is the only starting cornerback that they have left on the Lions, and he is starting in the slot. So, I mean, I'd still say Godwin, I think, but it's close.
Yep. Tags, how about Jared Cook here with Drew Brees back? And, you know, again, Cook kind of had completely fallen off the radar for a while, and then he got back in our good graces even with Taysom Hill. How do you feel about him here?
He's fine. I mean, he's not one that if I had my pick of the litter, I think there's other streamers out there that you could play over him because last week seemed like a matchup for him. A lot of targets have been funneled to tight ends against the Chiefs, and he finished with two catches for 29 yards in that game. Obviously, Brees didn't look great, but I mean, we have to look at the health of the wide receivers. Obviously, Michael Thomas is out. You know, is Tre'Quan Smith, is he going to play? The targets have to go somewhere. So I don't mind Cook. It's just he's more of like he's a mediocre streamer, high-end tight end too.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I've got him in the streaming conversation. He's a touchdown dependent tight end too. He's been that this entire year. So I, like Tag said, I think there are other options that you can go with, but Jared Cook is certainly in the conversation just based on the tight end position as a whole.
And how about Drew Brees, Yates? Streamer, what do you think?
He's certainly someone that you can look at if you're in a tight spot, but yet I've got Drew Brees at 16. You know, so I think that there are some better options available to you.
Drew Brees or Mitchell Trubisky?
I'll go Trubisky there. I've got Trubisky at 12.
Tags?
That's close for me. I have them like legitimately back to back in the rankings. So I guess I'll say Breeze just because I am worried about Trubisky's volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Breeze one spot higher. So that's just where I am. But they're in the same range. Let's go to the Bucks visiting the Lions. We are assuming right now that Ronald Jones is going to be out based on Bruce Arians' statement. So Tags, is Leonard Fournette an RB1 this week against Detroit?
Low-end RB1, high-end RB2. You got to play him. Like, you put him in your lineup and you just say, screw it, let's do it.
Leonard Fournette or J.K. Dobbins, Tags?
Fournette.
Fournette or Josh Jacobs?
Fournette.
Fournette or Miles Sanders?
Sanders.
Okay, how about you, Yates? Is he a low-end RB1 for you?
Yeah, he's in that conversation. I would have a tough time putting him in above Josh Jacobs, but oh man, but the matchup is just too good to get away from. So he actually he's at 13 right now. I've got Jacobs at 9 in my early run of rankings. He might move up as we move on throughout the week.
Yeah, I am starting Fournette over Jacobs, and I'm not, I mean, it's not a huge difference in my rankings, but I'm not really debating that at this point. I feel much more comfortable starting Leonard Fournette, and that's where we are in week 16 of the 2020 NFL season.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's get crazy. Yates, how about wide receivers here? I mean, we talked about it. You obviously are fine with Godwin. I agree that Godwin is still, you know, basically essentially a low-end wide receiver too. But I am a little concerned about him in a normal matchup. In this one, I feel like you kind of got to start all three of these wide receivers. What do you think?
Yeah, completely. If you're looking at a team implied point total of 31.5 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you need to be starting your options here. Leonard Fournette for sure. I mean, Gronk is definitely in that conversation, but then all three wide receivers definitely need to be in consideration. I've got AB just a little bit lower because I do think that he still needs that deep play to be able to make up for it, but I've got him inside my top 30 wide receivers on the week.
I have him a little lower than that with Brown. He's my lowest guy of the three, of course, as I'm going to assume he is for tags, but he's, you know, 33 for me, so he's right there. How about you, Tags? Confidently starting all three of these guys?
Brown is at 32. Okay. Godwin is at 19. And Evans is like, I have him at 12 right now. It's probably too high. But, I mean, I'm still going to say Mike Evans is a strong wide receiver too.
Yeah. How about Gronk, Tags? Are you willing to go with him in this one?
Depends. I mean, if you have someone like Logan Thomas, I'd probably play Thomas over him.
Yes.
Noah Fant is probably someone I'd play over him. Like the obvious ones we already know.
How about Hunter Henry?
No, Henry is like, no, I wouldn't.
Okay. I would. How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I would. I'd play Hunter Henry over Gronk.
Tags. You're not happy with Hunter Henry.
So maybe it depends. On Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, if they play or not. Because if they, if
you're
those
not
going
to know, you're not going to know when you have to make this choice, Tags. This is Saturday game, bud. Saturday game. You got to make your choice before you're going to know probably about Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. So right now, this is the week of tough decisions. You got to make it, Gronkowski or Henry.
All right. I'll say Henry for now then. I'll side with you guys because I have them literally right next to each other in the rankings. So I'll go with you guys.
That is the correct answer. How about Brady, Tags? Are you starting Tom Brady in this one?
I mean, unless you have Jalen Hurts, you probably don't have another quarterback that's better than Brady. I have an 8 in my ranking. So yeah, I mean, but if you have Jalen Hurts, to be fair, there are just two quarterbacks that I would start over Jalen Hurts this week.
Oh, I cannot wait to get to that game then because I have been debating the Hurts ranking forever. But we'll get there. How about you with Brady, Yates? Are you good to start him here?
Yep, I've got him at 8 as well.
Okay, let's go to the Lions. Are we assuming that just Matthew Stafford's going to power through this injury in a meaningless season?
I'm worried about it.
All right. How about DeAndre Swift then, Yates? And obviously a tough matchup here with the Bucs. Are you still rolling him out there?
Yeah, very, very tough matchup up against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I think that you still have to start Swift because he does bring that ability in the receiving game. And again, utilized around the goal line, I think that he's a safe high-end RB2. I don't know that he comes with ridiculous upside in this one, but yet I do think that he can be a safe option for you.
DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor against Pittsburgh?
Those guys are back-to-back in my rankings. I had that question on the live stream that I just did earlier today, and I was like, I think Swift, but it is super close.
What about you, Tags? That same question, DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor?
I'll go with Taylor, just looking at Pittsburgh and how they've looked human over the last couple weeks. That defense is just, there's so many injuries right now that I think I'll go with Taylor. But it's not that I dislike Swift, though. I actually like Swift. The fun fact there is that there have been just 4 running backs who have seen more than 15 touches against the Bucs. Each of them finished as the RB13 or better. Each of them did score a touchdown, but still, Swift has run 47 pass routes over the last 2 weeks, where Peterson and Kerryon have combined for just 30 of them. And he is getting that goal line work. So I do think that Swift is fine to play, but I will, for what it's worth, if Stafford sits this game out or if they shut him down, I'm going to lower everybody on this Lions team.
Okay, so let's talk about TJ Hockenson and Marvin Jones. Where do you feel like you'll have them ranked, generally speaking, if Stafford plays? And where will you have them if Stafford does not play?
Stafford playing, I have Marvin Jones at wide receiver 24. I have Hockenson, I think, at tight end 4. Okay. But if it's Chase Daniel, I mean, Marvin Jones is going to drop outside the top 30. And Hockenson would move down. I'd probably move him down to tight end 7 or 8.
Okay. How about you, Yates? Do you feel the same way with the QB switch?
Yeah, pretty much the exact same way. I'd probably move Hockenson into that same territory that I've got Gronk right now at tight end 9. So he'd be probably right around there, but I've got him at tight end 4 right now, assuming that Stafford plays.
All right, before we keep going, guys, let's talk about FanDuel. With your fantasy season winding down, keep the action going with daily fantasy sports on FanDuel. Maybe, though, you're like, oh, man, I'm done with football. I lost a heartbreaker in my semifinals. I rostered Christian McCaffrey all year. It's no problem. Basketball is here. That means FanDuel NBA is here. If you have not played DFS with the NBA, you are missing out. There is so much action going on in every game. There are points aplenty. There are highs. There are lows. There is excitement. It is awesome. Right now, if you sign up for FanDuel, you can get a 20% match on your first deposit up to $500. Also, use our code FANTASYPROSPREMIUM, all one word. You're going to get 6 months of Fantasy Pros Premium. That's it. No strings attached. Just create an account. Make your first deposit. Use our code FANTASYPROSPREMIUM. Get started now. Play your first free contest this week, by the way. FanDuel, promo code FANTASYPROSPREMIUM, all one word. Okay, let's go to the 49ers visiting the Cardinals. Yates, maybe George Kittle plays. If he does, how many tight ends would you start ahead of George Kittle?
This is such a great question because I got this on the live stream and I had to kind of just process this out loud and, you know, was just saying like, it's George Kittle. That if he is coming back in a lost season for the 49ers who are on their third string quarterback, third string running back or whatever, you know, like this team has just been decimated by injury. If he is coming back, he's ready to go. And if that's the case, I'm only sitting him if I have Travis Kelce, Darren Waller, or Mark Andrews on my roster. Otherwise, okay. George Kittle's going to land at tight end 4 for me if he comes back.
All right, so this is obviously a spoiler alert. Since this is the second time I asked you a question that you got on the live stream, I was everybody who was asking you the questions on the live stream just with my burner accounts.
All right,
it was me. There were actually zero people there except me and my 8,000 different burner accounts. Tags, actually, that's exactly how I feel about it. I think if George Kittle plays, I'd slot him right. I mean, it's CJ Beathard. Like, I don't know whether or not he's just going to be out there fully in what amounts to a lost season. But I do think that I would start him probably over everybody other than Kelce, Waller, and Andrews. What do you think?
I don't think he's playing, guys. I think you guys are wasting your breath here because it is lost season. They're out.
Dare you? Look, Shanahan was optimistic earlier.
There is zero reason for him to be on the field.
I completely agree. I don't know if he comes back, but I'm just preparing that if he does, there's a lot of smoke around this right now that he might come back this week.
And let me give you a reason why he might play. Because he's George Kittle and it's a football game and these guys want to play. Like they want, especially someone like George Kittle, they want to play. And especially a guy like Kittle, who's an absolute beast. Like he's probably been begging to get out, you know, get on the field. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, right when he got injured, he said, I'll be out for 2 weeks. And right. Shanahan was like, no, dude, you're out like the entire season.
So Tags, waste some more breath. If he does play, where are you putting him?
If he does play, I think you guys are right. I don't think that I could play guys like Logan Thomas or Robert Tonyan over him. You know, if Stafford plays, I might play Hockenson over him, but it's close.
Okay. How about Jeff Wilson here? Tags, Raheem Mostert on IR. So, I mean, Jeff Wilson is purportedly healthy. RB2 for you?
Yeah, I'm going to play.
Not overall. And RB2, let me clarify.
No, for sure. Yeah. No, I have him right now. Mostert's not going to play. So right now I have Wilson slotted in as my RB23.
That's exactly where I have him. What about you, Yates? You're good with that?
Yeah, I have him a little bit higher at 18 right now. But there are so many running backs in this low-end RB2 that are just in limbo right now in my rankings. I need more information on them. So Wilson will probably move, but I definitely think that he belongs in your starting lineup.
Tags, Jeff Wilson or Le'Veon Bell?
Ooh, I have Le'Veon higher.
Okay. How about you, Yates?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think I might go Wilson there, but I really don't know why.
My questions are fire today, guys. You guys are struggling with all of them. Amazing. We're not struggling over whether to start Brandon Ayuk, though, right? He is locked in your lineup. Both of you, I'll start with you, Yates.
Yeah, I've got him at 10 on the week. The quarterback, I don't care. You start Ayuk at this point.
I don't care.
Yeah, it's true. How about you, Tex?
Yeah, I have him at 13. Between him and Mike Evans, I was kind of flip-flopping between those guys. I think Ayuk's probably safer, though, just because he's the only show in town, unless... That's another thing to talk about, yep. I guess. If George Kittle comes back, Ayuk has to take a hit in the targets because Kittle's going to get targeted.
That's true. But you're still starting Ayuk, right?
Oh, you're still starting him. I'm just wondering, like, how far do we drop him in the rankings?
Yates, you said quarterback doesn't matter. Brandon Ayuk with Dan Harris as the quarterback. Where is he ranking?
Wide receiver -150.
You see, you're a liar. Quarterback does matter. So let's go on to the Cardinals. Of course, we're starting Kyler Murray. Of course, we're starting DeAndre Hopkins. How do you guys feel about Kenyon Drake? He was obviously a little banged up last week. I haven't heard anything that suggests that his availability is threatened in this game. So, Tags, how are you feeling on Drake in this one?
Feel mixed about it. I mean, it's not a great matchup for him against the 49ers. They've still allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points to running backs, and that's despite Tony Pollard's, 100 plus yards and 2 touchdowns last week. So it's not a great matchup. Drake did play them earlier this year where he finished, I think it was like 60 yards and a touchdown in that game, but Chase Edmonds has also earned a bigger role, but there's also some red tape here because Chase Edmonds now missed practice again the start of this week. So it's like, okay.
I can't at this point, right? Because he was like not likely to play early in the week last week, and they just came out there and played well. So I agree, but I assume he's going to play and he's going to be fine.
Same here. It might be just them giving him some rest. So I have Drake as the RB25. So, I mean, I would be playing guys probably like Jeff Wilson over him. I would play J.D. McKissic over him. Daryl Henderson, I'd probably play over him.
Tags, you and I have him at 25 as well. Yes, I'll ask you in a second, but we are right there. What about Gio Bernard, Tags, against Houston? Okay, Yates, where do you have Drake, and how do you feel about a couple of those guys that we mentioned?
Yeah, I have Drake right now at 21, so I am concerned just with the, what we saw last week, was that a fluke? Was that just because he was dealing with something that we don't know about? Like, what is the full story here? I just don't have that with Kenyon Drake just yet, so that's one of these guys that's in limbo right now. For him to produce, you need him to get those 20 touches and, be utilized around the goal line, and if Chase Edmonds is going to see more of a role than he has all season long, then that's a concern. So yeah, you definitely have to be worried. But then as far as the other guys, Daryl Henderson, I would start Henderson over Kenyon Drake. Gio, I would not start over, even though it's up against Houston. I get it. I don't want to buy into last week.
These guys are very close for me. All the guys that we mentioned, Tags, kudos to you. I mean, the guys that you were mentioning were the exact guys I was going to ask you about. I'm trying to get off Drake if I can. Because I think with Murray becoming healthier, right? I mean, the big thing with Drake is that he's got the goal line touches. You know, you're seeing that more from Murray now as he's healthy. Not only is he throwing the ball further downfield, but he's also willing to sort of, be the quote unquote goal line back. So I'm not running away from him, but if I have other options in that same range, I would. And no Christian Kirk here, right, guys? We're done. It's just Hopkins or Boston.
No Kirk.
All right. Dolphins visiting the Raiders. So Myles Gaskin returned to practice today. Let's just assume he plays. We talked about on the waiver wire. I'll start with you, Yates. How do you feel about the running backs? Are you starting either one if they both play?
I hadn't heard that Myles Gaskin returned, so that seems to me.
You guys got to monitor the news. You got to monitor our news desk. Follow us on Twitter, Fantasy Pros NFL. Do that. You'll know everything. Go ahead, Yates.
So off the top of my head, just gut reaction, knowing that Myles Gaskin returned to practice, then I think this is a hands-off situation. Unless we get complete clarity from the coaching staff, like Myles Gaskin is going to be the starter, he's going to see his full workload, unless Brian Flores comes out and says that, I think both these guys just kind of need to be ranked around like RB28, where they could split work. You could see Myles Gaskin take over the full workload, or you could see Savon Ahmed take over the full. We just have no idea at this point of the week.
Yeah, what do you think, Tags? Both these guys are active. What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, I already wrote up this game, and I was like going through it. I was like, I don't even know how to approach it. I don't. I don't think anybody really does know. So it's kind of like we have to listen to Brian Flores if he gives us any sort of hints throughout the week is to like Myles Gaskin's role, because I think COVID has affected people differently. Some people, they're not really affected by it. Some people deal with symptoms afterwards. So, man, it's really tough. If they say he's healthy, he's back in the lineup, he's going to resume his workload or whatever, or his role, I'm going to put him as probably like a high-end RB3 in the territory of someone like Kenyon Drake, and then I'm going to move Ahmed to low-end RB3 territory. I think that they're both probably playable against the Raiders because, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in the league against the run, but it's tough, man. I really wish I didn't have to make that choice.
Sorry to have bursted your bubble by being so on top of the news today, guys. But yeah, it should be clear, if somehow Gaskin misses, and again, the report from the beat writer, I believe it was Cameron Wolf, said that he is likely to play. Essentially, he's likely to come off the reserve COVID-19 list and play. If he doesn't play, though, we are starting Ahmed, no questions asked, right?
Yes.
Completely.
Okay.
Ahmed was someone I had all the way up at, I think, RB13 before I found out about Gaskin just now.
Yes, now you have to adjust your rankings. Look, the pass catchers for the Dolphins, let's assume they all start. I assume they won't. Let's assume that Gesicki's out there and Parker's out there and Grant's out there. Tags, who, if any of them, do you want to start in this matchup against the Raiders?
Parker for sure. the rate. I mean, you saw, like, they fired Paul Gunther, their defensive coordinator, on a short week, which was the dumbest thing you could ever do. And then you saw that defense. Like, if you watched that game, you could see all the soft spots in the zone coverage that they were running there. And Parker's someone that struggles to gain, like, separation and man coverage, so he's better against zone. Obviously, Tua has limited targets to throw to, so when he does go to the air, it's going to be to Parker. I like Parker as a stable wide receiver three, provided he's back practicing in full by the end of the week.
Parker or Rashard Higgins, assuming he's back practicing in full.
I'll go Parker.
I don't know. I don't think I could trust Parker in a championship matchup, either. No matter what. Like, even if he's full, he's a full go. I mean, how many games has he left? Even this one, they thought he was going to play, and he felt something in the hammy, man. Soft tissue injuries. Ugh. Even if he's full go, I think I'd try to find another option. What about you, Yates?
I'm in the same boat. I would have a really, really tough time trusting Parker as anything more than a flex option in week 16.
Yeah. That's just where I'm at. Let's go to the Raiders. Carr is somehow practicing. This is nonsense. I assume it's going to be Marcus Mariota. So you're starting Darren Waller regardless. We've touched on Jacobs already. He's kind of in that borderline, I guess, RB1 range there. Is there anybody else, Yates, who you're looking to start here on the Raiders other than Waller and Jacobs?
I think you can get away with Aguilar. I mean, eight targets last week? Only caught four of them, but I think he's still seeing that main target workload. Henry Ruggs, I'm assuming that he comes off the COVID list, but I'm not going anywhere near him. Aguilar is a flex option that you're hoping just is able to reel in a score, but outside of that, no, I think you stay far away.
What about you, Tex?
Wait, you said flex option. I want to just clarify here. So you think that Aguilar and Parker belong in the same territory?
I would put Parker probably as, assuming that he's like, he practices all week, like, mm-hmm. then that would probably be, I'd probably place Parker around like wide receiver 40.
Yep.
I'd probably have Aguilar probably around like wide receiver 46, 47, 48, probably.
I think you guys are too low on Parker.
That's fine. I'm willing to.
Agree to disagree.
Yeah, agree to disagree. The one movie Yates knows, we're gonna harp on that one.
Yeah, we're gonna pound that one.
Tags, I do agree with Yates on this one. I get it. The matchup is good. Parker is talented. First of all, who knows if they're gonna need to throw the ball in this game? You know, I get that Mariota played well coming in cold, but with a week to prepare, the Dolphins defense is very solid. I don't think they're going to need to, you know, go crazy with the throwing. And I get that he gets targeted in the end zone all the time, but still, I think that's right. Now, I'm not looking to start Nelson Aguilar either in this one. I think, Yates, you mentioned it. That's like a low-end flex
option. It's a low-end. Yep, right. I think you have better options. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Tags, putting aside that you're very upset about our Parker, you know, our positions on Parker, what about Aguilar for you?
Aguilar is at wide receiver 52 for me. Not a big fan.
Okay. Would we rather start Nelson Aguilar, I'll ask both of you, or either Bengals wide receiver?
Either Bengals, yeah. I'll play the Bengals wide receivers. I mean, we don't even know if Tyler Boyd's going to play. He had a concussion,
yep.
And it was Monday night, so he obviously has one short fewer day to get cleared from that. Typically, mm-hmm. players don't get cleared until Saturday, so it's basically a game day decision, I'm guessing. I like Higgins, though. I have Higgins up at wide receiver 33.
Is that based on Tyler Boyd being out, or you like him there regardless?
No, I like him there regardless.
Okay, what about you, Yates?
I'm not as optimistic. I would prefer to play Higgins because I don't think Tyler Boyd plays. But if Boyd is officially out, I think Higgins will move into that high-end flex option just outside of my top 36. I don't know if I'd put him inside my top 36, though, with Ryan Finley.
I have a confession. Ranking Bengals players is my least favorite part of the week. Like, legitimately. And I'm never right. I feel like I'm never right on what to expect on these guys. So if you are asking me a Bengals ranking question, you just ask the other two guys because they've got a better beat on the team, apparently. Falcons visiting the Chiefs. I assume Julio Jones is still going to be out here. I mean, maybe he comes back, but it's probably not going to be till week 17. Calvin Ridley is a must start. We talked about Russell Gage extensively on the waiver wire show. So Tags, out of curiosity, where did Gage land in your early cut of your weekly rankings?
Well, I'm actually planning for Julio to play. So
you are.
That affected my ranking on that. Yeah. But I'm building in some risk there. So I have Ridley up at wide receiver 4. I have Julio at wide receiver 17. And then I have Gage down at, you're not going to want to hear this, Dan, cover your ears.
I'm ready.
Wide receiver 54.
This podcast is over. I'm leaving. I mean, if Julio plays, it's okay. Yeah, it's,
right.
Brett, bring some sensibility into this discussion, please.
I have Russell Gage at 35. I don't think that Julio plays unless the Tags know something that I, or has heard something that
I'm
haven't.
Friends with Julio. He texted me earlier.
He
okay,
did?
Cool.
Oh, man. So, I told him, text me first, then text you some wrong information, then we'll go from there. Oh. All right. Go ahead, Yates.
Yeah, I think Gage, again, if Julio is out, then Gage, I think, belongs in your starting lineup. Now, he doesn't necessarily bring a ton of upside in this matchup. Tags went through that where,
yeah,
you know, this is a tough matchup for opposing wide receivers, but yet the ball has to go somewhere. And I think that Gage can see 7, 8, 9 targets in this one. Again, not a ton of upside, but yet brings a safe floor for you.
Tags, assuming it was me pretending to be Julio Jones, telling you that I was playing and he's actually out, where would you have Gage then?
So, yeah, I would move Gage into like a borderline wide receiver 3, high-end wide receiver 4. So I'd probably move him to around wide receiver 38, maybe. When you look at the matchup, there have been 4 slot-heavy wide receivers who have finished with more than 45 yards against the Chiefs. Every single one of those receivers saw at least 9 targets. So you absolutely need Julio out. And even if Julio's out, I don't think it's like a smash spot for him. So yeah, I would say he'd move into like low end wide receiver 3, high end wide receiver 4.
The correct answer is wide receiver 36, which is where I have him ranked, assuming that Julio is out. Let's go to Hayden Hurst. Yates, are you going to Hayden Hurst?
I really don't want to. he burned me last week.
Yeah.
I was saying like he'd finished inside the top 40 tight ends just once out of the past 4 games going into last week. And then, of course, he scored a touchdown. But only 4 receptions, 21 yards off the top of my head. So, man, I really don't want to go near him if I can avoid it.
What does that mean? Yet I mean, what is that like? Great. I don't want to go near him if I can avoid it.
He's tight end 8. No, I'm kidding. Hayden Hurst, tight end 21 for me in my rankings.
Oh boy. All right. That's low. Tags.
It depends on if Julio plays. If Julio plays, it's actually a really good thing for Hayden Hurst. I think people have missed that. So I have Hurst right now at tight end 15. If Julio does not play, I'm going to move Hurst down to probably tight end 18 or 19.
Okay. All right, whatever. We're all getting away from him, so that's all you need to know. And Matt Ryan, Tags, not going near him in this one, are you?
I mean, if you're in the championship, you're probably not trying to decide between Matt Ryan, but if you're in like a 2-quarterback league, he's perfectly fine.
All right, well, let's put it to the advice that Yates and I gave incorrectly last week. Would you rather start Matt Ryan or Mitchell Trubisky this week?
I have Matt Ryan higher.
Ooh, what about you, Yates?
Trubisky.
Yeah, me too. Way to go.
I think the ceiling might be higher with Trubisky, but the floor is there with Matt Ryan in that matchup.
You know the ceiling's always high with Trubisky. Let's go to the Chiefs. you know you're starting Patrick Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, of course.
Actually, Hill news broke that he didn't practice today with a hamstring
injury. Yeah, but he didn't practice last week either, right? On a Wednesday. He didn't practice early.
Yeah, again, this is Wednesday. I get it. Just wanted to mention.
Well, if Tyreek Hill doesn't play, do not start him in your championship matchup. I just want to that's free advice. That's what you get here at the Fantasy Pros podcast. Tags, though. Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you know Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out. What are we doing with Bell?
You play him. I think you play him as an RB2. That's where I'm at. I mean, you look at what Clyde Edwards-Helaire did before Le'Veon Bell got there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was averaging 17.8 carries per game and 3.5 receptions per game. Since that time, obviously those numbers dipped, but that's 21.3 touches per game. We've talked about the fact that Atlanta's not a great matchup on the ground, but that's not really where you're looking for Bell to gain a whole lot of value. His team is projected for 32.3 points in this game, so that's always a good thing, especially if he's going to get goal line carries. Le'Veon Bell has always been pretty good around the goal line. He is going to be involved in the passing game a little bit. Leonard Fournette was a guy that obviously offered value last week in this matchup against Atlanta. So even though Le'Veon's not the same player he used to be, I think he's playable as an RB2 here.
Le'Veon Bell or Mike Davis against Washington?
I'll play Le'Veon.
How about you, Yates?
Oh, man. I really do not know what to do with Le'Veon Bell right now. I've got him at 24 right now. I agree with Tags that all, like, it's the team implied point total, everything, the goal line usage, like, it all matches up, but yet, is it a guarantee that he sees more than 12 touches? I don't think it is. You could see Darrell Williams. You could see, like, I don't know. And so it's a risky play in week 16. I do think that he can be started. I've got him inside my top 24, but yet at the same time, I'm not going too crazy. I think I might go Mike Davis. Now, I don't think that he has a high ceiling, but I know what his usage is going to be.
How about Le'Veon Bell, Tags, or Melvin Gordon?
Oh, I have them back to back. I have Gordon one spot higher, but mm-hmm. I could make the case to say Bell if I wanted to.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, I'll go Gordon there.
All right, let's get to the Browns visiting the Jets. Yates, has the Jets' historic and heroic effort that they put up last week made you change all of our season-long opinions of bench all Jets?
Well, in this matchup, I think you can get away with Jamison Crowder because the Browns are not a good pass defense. So I think you can get away. But again, it's week 16. It is a very difficult time to say, yeah, start Jamison Crowder with full confidence. So,
Yates, if Devontae Parker plays, Devontae Parker or Jamison Crowder?
Oh, gross. Yes. Will go Jamison Crowder there, I think.
Tags, how do you feel about Crowder?
He's fine as a wide receiver four. I would rather start Parker.
Okay. Anybody else tags on the Jets? I mean, are you starting Frank Gore?
No. Stop.
Okay.
Stop it.
Sorry. I have to kill time. Let's go to the Browns then. People you are starting. Nick Chubb, of course. Tags, how about Kareem Hunt, who we spent a long time basically being like, no, I'm tired of starting him. Are you tired of starting him against the Jets?
I mean, kind of. The Jets now updated after last week, after them shutting down the Rams run game. They've now allowed the third fewest fantasy points per weighted opportunity the Jets have. So you're basically looking for volume. Now, granted, running backs have averaged a massive 28.6 touches per game against them. The Browns have averaged themselves 31 running back touches per game. So even if Nick Chubb gets, let's call it, 20 touches, you're looking at 10 to 12 for Hunt. I'm going to put him in the RB3 territory. I don't think that he's a must play by any means. He's RB27 in my rankings for right now. If you told me I had to choose between him and someone like, Wayne Gallman, I might have some difficulty, but that's about it.
Okay. How about, so you're starting Daryl Henderson over him?
Correct.
Gio Bernard
Correct.
Over him? Kenyon Drake over him?
Yes. They're in that same tier, but I think I can guarantee more touches for Drake.
What about Hunt for you, Yates?
I'm willing to play him as a low-end running back to Quinnen Williams, placed on IR earlier today. So this opens up this run game quite a bit here for a team that loves to run the ball. And I still think that, I like the wide receivers in this game too. But again, I'm not going too crazy with Kareem Hunt. I've got him at 21. So I would play Daryl Henderson over him, Mike Davis, Jeff Wilson right now, Melvin Gordon. It would be more of a tough decision for me to make with Kenyon Drake. I would play Kareem Hunt right now over Kenyon Drake, though.
How about the receivers here? Jarvis Landry, I assume he's going to be in your lineup, but how about Rashard Higgins? Yates.
Yeah, I definitely think Rashard Higgins deserves to be in your starting lineup. I've got him at 33 right now. This matchup up against the Jets is absolutely one that you start your wide receivers against. So Rashard Higgins, super involved in this offense, has been producing. I'm going to take the swing for the fences approach here with Rashard Higgins.
Wide receiver 37 for me. Definitely think he's playable. It's it kind of stinks though because the Jets were starting Lamar Jackson. No, not the Ravens Lamar Jackson, but a cornerback named Lamar Jackson. They had him out there until 2 weeks ago, but I had such good stats to put out there on him too. Is that he's allowed 3 PPR points per target in his coverage? Like he was so bad. Goodness. But now they've gone to Bryce Hall, who's been much better.
Loved Bryce Hall coming up.
Les Austin is out there now, so the perimeter duo has been better. I think that Jarvis Landry has the best matchup on the field. So
yeah,
Higgins is, he's a solid play, but I mean, it comes back to the idea of how much are the Browns actually going to pass. And that's always the concern with that team because, this should be a blowout. I know we talked about that last week with the Rams, but it really should be.
So with all those concerns, are you starting either Baker Mayfield or Austin Hooper this week, Tags?
I think Mayfield's a low-end QB1. I think he could be played as such. Like he should come with a decent floor because even if he only throws the ball 28 times, with the way he's been playing, that should amount to low-end QB1 numbers. If you look at the Jets in terms of like outside of, Jared Goff, before him, the last six quarterbacks they played, QB8, QB1, QB6, QB2, QB8, QB1, and by the way, the Jets were getting blown out in like all those games. So Jared Goff's just very bad. I don't know how else to put this.
Tags, Baker Mayfield or Russell Wilson this week?
Mayfield.
How about you, Yates?
Yeah, Baker pretty easily.
Okay. And what about Hooper, Yates? Is there any interest in him in this one?
Yeah, low-end tight end one for me. I think that you can absolutely look at him against the Jets, who are allowing the most fantasy points to the opposing tight ends this season.
All right, Colts visiting the Steelers. Talk about the running backs here. Obviously not the greatest matchup, certainly not the run of, exceptional matchups that they've seen lately. But you're still starting Jonathan Taylor in this one, Yates. And then what about Nyheim Hines in half PPR leagues?
Yeah, you got to look at Jonathan Taylor as a mid-range running back too. He doesn't come with the same upside that he has in the previous matchups, obviously with his schedule that he just went through. We've seen him, the RB5 from weeks 11 through 15, so he's just been dominating. I think he still is a solid bet to see 15, 18 plus touches in this one, but the efficiency might not be there up against the Pittsburgh Steelers run defense. So I definitely think you can start him. He's a mid-range running back too in my rankings.
By the way, Yates, you're feeling too comfortable on this podcast, so I'm going to throw you a little curveball and mess with your head a little bit. You ready?
Sure.
You begin every answer, no matter if it's a yes or no question, with the word yeah. So I'm like, all right, how do we feel about Jonathan Taylor? Your answer begins with yeah, and you do that in every answer. So now before you answer on your next one, you're going to think to yourself, don't say yeah, don't say yeah, and then you're going to get lost in your own thoughts.
You're the worst.
And I'm just going to sit back here and enjoy it, okay?
Dan's the worst, isn't he?
I am the worst.
You are the absolute worst.
I am the worst, but you enjoy it, my friend.
You've taken the week 16 to point this out?
It doesn't bother anybody. It doesn't bother me, but I just want to mess with your head a little bit because I love you so much. It's fine. It's going to be great, Yates. Don't worry about it. Tags, Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, go.
Jonathan Taylor, he's a high-end RB2. Again, he may have caught this team at the right time with all the injuries they have piling up, but on the year, I mean, if this was the same Steelers defense that we talked about the last, for, you know, 80% of the season, this team as a whole, even including last week with Giovanni Bernard, they have allowed 0.69 PPR points per opportunity. And what I mean by per opportunity means carries and targets combined. When you add those guys together, so if a running back were to get 15 opportunities, which is pretty solid in today's NFL, it would amount to just 10.4 PPR points against the Steelers. There have been just three running backs since the start of 2019 who have finished as RB1s against the Steelers. But again, the Bengals last week, 105 yards and a touchdown on the ground against them. I mean, come on, it's the Bengals. That team could not run the ball to save their life before that game. So I think that there's really something going on with the injuries that Steelers team. The morale is just out the friggin' window. But he is going into Pittsburgh. I'm guessing it's going to be a hostile environment because there's no fans. But it's going to be more like on the road. It's going to be in the cold. I think this game means too much for the Steelers that I think they're going to bring it on defense because the offense is just not there. But I would not be expecting Jonathan Taylor to win you your fantasy title. That's basically what it comes down to, but you kind of have to play him.
Yeah, I'm starting him. And because I did the Betting Pros NFL podcast this week, I'm kind of done with it's a big game for the Steelers. Mike Tomlin is historically great at the rah-rah, sort of getting his guys up to play for these games that they need to win, right? Because if they lose this one and the Browns win next one, then the next week is for the division. They've got to find a way, I think, to get this game. Doesn't matter to me. I think they just don't have the horses anymore. I think the injuries are too much at this point. So it's not a matchup right now that I'm going to run away from. And again, if you have Jonathan Taylor and you're this far, he's probably one of your better options. I have a mid-range RB2 tags. What about T.Y. Hilton here? Are you starting him?
He's fine. The Steelers secondary has been meh. I mean, like, the production they allow typically goes through the wide receivers. But again, this is not a Colts team that's been throwing the ball a whole lot because they've been relying on those running backs. I have T.Y. Hilton at wide receiver 40.
Oh, wow.
Not particularly high on him, honestly. Like, if you look at the Steelers secondary as of late, that they did hold T. Higgins, like, 3 catches, 31 yards, but that was, they only threw the ball 13 times. Terry McLaurin before that, 2 catches for 14 yards. Marquise Brown had 4 catches for 85 yards, but one play essentially accounted for all of his production. And then the prior week to that, it was DJ Chark, 4 catches for 41 yards. There was a week in between there where Stephon Diggs went bananas, but that was with Joe Hayden out of the lineup, so it clearly affected them. But again, this has more to do with me, like, in terms of the environment in this game. I don't think this game is going to net a whole lot of points.
Yates, you are one of the foremost T.Y. Hilton defenders in the fantasy football community. So let's talk some sense into tags. He said wide receiver 40. I'm guessing you're higher.
I hate being the high man on T.Y. Hilton. Yes. What the hell is going on here? I've got him at 28. Now, I'm not excited about him. To be clear, that is not like a 28 with high upside. I don't really see the upside in this matchup, but yet the way he's been playing here recently, and I am projecting that Philip Rivers is going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than he has in the recent matchups. So there could be more volume here. That's why I've got T.Y. Hilton inside my top 30, but now that Tag's got him at 40, I really want to just put him at 41 so I don't have to be the high man.
Well, you are higher, and this is actually beautiful because Yates are at 28, Tags are at 40. I am at exactly the midpoint, 34. So that's probably the right answer because that's where we would net out as our average anyway. So that works. Yates, true or false, there is one Pittsburgh player who is a must-start option in this game, and it's Deontay Johnson.
That is true. Tags? I didn't say yeah, tags.
Or that is the correct
you
didn't answer.
Start, you haven't started either of your last two answers with yeah, and now I'm on tilt. So I should not have mentioned it at all. Tags. Is that true or false?
That is absolutely true. It's Deontay Johnson. You can consider Juju. I think you can consider Claypool too. I know that you guys are going to mock me for that one, but
No. You're that I still have it there, Tags. I still have him as like a borderline wide receiver three at this point, and it makes me mad.
I would go Claypool over Juju.
Yeah, I have Claypool ranked over Juju as well.
Yeah, that's fair. But guys, so Deontay Johnson's a must play. I have him as wide receiver 14 this week. I don't think that's in question. But the thing is, the Colts, I don't think many people realize this because the Colts have been known as like a good defense and all that. They've allowed the second most yards per target to wide receivers this season.
That's a lot.
And that's the thing. They haven't seen a whole lot of wide receiver targets. So when Pittsburgh comes to town, it's like this team is going to target their wide receivers. That's just what they do. So yep. I think that they actually could surprise in this game.
Tags, if James Conner plays, do you want to start him? If he doesn't play, do you want to start Benny Snell?
I hope that James Conner doesn't play so that you could play Snell a bit more confidently. Mm-hmm. But if Conner plays, I guess he'll be the favorite. But you can't trust him as anything more than like a low-end RB3.
If Conner doesn't play, would you rather start Benny Snell or Kenyon Drake?
Ooh, that's the territory I'd put him in, to be honest.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Yates, do you agree with that? That if Conner plays, you really kind of don't want to go near any of them. But if he doesn't play, then you're willing to start Snell as like a borderline RB2?
Yeah, I'm in that. Damn it.
But that was a yes or no question. So that's okay
that,
to start.
I'm in that area where I was. You're the literal worst.
I am the worst. I'm sorry.
I would definitely prefer Conner to sit this one out because if he plays, I really don't want to go near him against the Indianapolis Colts run defense. And just the way he's looked recently and this offense as a whole. So yeah, Snell, I think you can consider, but Kenyon Drake would probably be in the same territory.
Okay. Finally, Yates, yes or no question. If Eric Ebron plays in this one, do you want to start him?
No.
Okay. Tags?
No.
Good. Bears visiting the Jaguars. Again, we talked about it. Dave Montgomery, is he top five for both of you? He is for me.
Yes.
He is five, exactly.
Wonderful. And Allen Robinson is an obvious play. And Mitchell Trubisky, Yates, I'll go to you first because, you know, you were a little bit higher on Trubisky last week. Where does he fall in your early rankings?
Yeah, he's a high-end quarterback, too, for me. So I think you do have the concerns of what happens if they turn to the run game again. But you have that with a lot of these streaming quarterbacks that, you know, this is a fantastic matchup. I think you've got to play him if you're playing the streaming quarterback game. I think he's at the top of the list.
Yeah, he's number 14 for me. What about you, Tags?
I have him at 15. I would start Baker over him.
Yep.
Yes, same here.
But yeah, I mean, I think he's a fine play. But again, it comes back to the idea that last week they threw the ball 21 times. And then you look at the matchup against the Jags this week, a team that really is struggling to put points on the board. And teams have thrown the ball just 52% of the time this year against them, which is the third lowest mark in the league. So if the Bears follow a trend to what they did last week, it's a very similar matchup in that aspect. That's the concern. And that's why I think you have to bake that into it. And that's why I think Trubisky, he's a fine, like mid to high end QB2. He has upside for top 12. But if they don't throw the ball a whole lot, you don't want to put yourself out there and just rely on them too much.
So there's some optimism, surprisingly, about James Robinson now in this game. It sounds like he may actually be able to suit up. I didn't think there was really any chance. If he does, it's, of course, a very difficult matchup. If he does start Tags, do you want to start him? And if not, do you have any interest in Ozigbo or Ogunbowale?
I mean, I have no interest in those other guys, no. Okay. As for Robinson, I think he's an RB2. I mean, it's kind of like a Jonathan Taylor thing where I highly doubt you have a guy that you'd start over him, but it's possible. I guess you do. Maybe you have David Montgomery and David Johnson and you want to start him over those guys. I'd have no issue with that. But yeah, Robinson falls into the RB2 territory for me.
Yates, do you want to start anybody other than perhaps James Robinson if he plays? Like we talk about DJ Chark every week and sort of the Chase Claypool sort of like, I don't really like him, but I guess I'll start him. Is that where DJ Chark falls for you this week?
Yeah, I think he's in that territory where like, I really don't want to play him. He's a high end flex option. If that, I think that you can't get, he's going to see targets, but I'm not really excited to play him. I don't think he comes with any upside in this matchup. James Robinson would be a running back too for me.
Wonderful. Giants visiting the Ravens. You're starting Lamar Jackson. You're starting Mark Andrews, JK Dobbins, Yates. Just how do you generally feel about him and Gus Edwards? Do you think you can get away with starting both in this matchup?
I don't think you can get away with starting both. I was a little bit more optimistic on Gus Edwards last week. Again, I was looking at the implied point totals and saying, like, Baltimore is going to put up points. Now, the process was right. They put up 40 points, but Gus Edwards wasn't able to find the end zone. So I had him ranked at 24, I think, last week. That didn't work out. I've got him ranked at 32 right now. So I think you can get away with him if you're in a pinch, but you're just relying on high efficiency and hoping that he finds the end zone. J.K. Dobbins, I've got at 11 right now. So I think that you can look his way. He might come down, though, as we get some more clarity on some of these other situations.
11 and 32 are also my exact rankings on Dobbins and Edwards. Tags, you agree with basically that framework?
I'm at 14 and 37. So it's a weird matchup that doesn't really
slide it back three spots.
Yeah. I mean, it's a matchup that just doesn't suit their strengths, really. You look at it and you say that the Giants have allowed the 10th fewest fantasy points on the ground to running backs. We saw Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt struggle a little bit last week. And where they've struggled is through the air to running backs, which is what the Ravens don't do. I really have no idea why they don't utilize their running backs a little bit more in the passing game, because the Giants have allowed the third most fantasy points through the air to running backs. So it just doesn't feel like it suits it a whole lot. But again, I think you have to play Dobbins, especially in a game that we expect Baltimore to roll. So, you know, he's getting 12 plus touches. He's explosive on those touches. Both of these guys are they rank top 12 in terms of yards over expected. It's a metric through Next Gen Stats that I really do like. It highlights just how good players have been based on the number of defenders they've seen in the box, the amount of yards before contact they've got. It factors in everything. And these two are extremely good at getting more than they're supposed to.
Tags, Hollywood Brown or Rashard Higgins?
Oh, I think I'll go with Rashard Higgins. I think if you look at like ceiling projection and stuff like that, I think Brown, you could make the case for him. But I think if you look at a median projection, I'd say that Higgins comes out on top, and I'm gonna take that, because Marquise Brown's matchup against the Giants with Bradbury back for them, it's not a good matchup.
Yeah. So are you starting him as a borderline wide receiver 3?
I have him at wide receiver 42.
Okay. How about you, Yates?
I've got Higgins at 32. I've got Brown at 33. So okay. I think you can get away with Marquise Brown, but I am concerned for with the matchup there against Bradbury. I wouldn't be surprised if he moved down as we move throughout the week.
For the Giants, sounds like Daniel Jones is going to suit up for here. I'm not sure how much it matters
for
you guys.
Or if that's an upgrade for anybody.
Right. Yeah. Tags, who are you starting on the Giants?
Moving on.
An answer can be nobody. I will accept
Moving
it.
On.
Is there nobody that you're starting at all?
I mean, the only one that I would probably consider is Evan Engram, just because of the targets. And he's probably someone that I would say that benefits from Daniel Jones being back in the lineup. Baltimore, the only position that they're really below average against, it's against tight ends. So Engram, I'm not excited to play him. He's like just a borderline streamer, you know, right around that tight end 12 range. But I'm not excited about it.
I've got him at 12. Right now. So that's basically where it is. But I agree. He's the only, I mean, I could see Gallman as like a deep flex, like in a really,
I'm so
deep
mad
league.
About that. Wayne Gallman's been so damn good. And by the way, like he played just 42% of the snaps in week 15. And now Devonta Freeman has been activated off the IR. Yeah. So that means he's probably going to come back, which means they're going to cut his snaps even more. But it is so stupid. How ridiculous that I feel bad for Wayne Gallman, because he's played so well.
He really has, but now I can say that this totally justifies all those weeks that I completely faded him, despite the fact that he was dominating. So, way to go, proven right. Yates, do you agree with all that? Basically, Engram a borderline starter and kind of avoid everybody else in the Giants?
Completely agree. I've got Evan Engram at 12.
Wonderful. Bengals visiting the Texans. We're starting Deshaun Watson. And Yates, are we just trusting that David Johnson is good to go after he saw 11 targets and got all of them in this one?
Good to go is a relative term. I think if Duke Johnson misses this game again, then David Johnson absolutely belongs in your lineup as a low-end running back one. If Duke Johnson comes back, you're going to assume that he's going to see and steal away some of those targets. So I think that lowers his overall ceiling, which would put him probably as a mid-range running back too. I'd probably start someone like Jeff Wilson over David Johnson if Duke Johnson came back to the lineup. But otherwise, yeah, David Johnson, this is so confusing. David Johnson belongs in your starting lineup.
Yeah, that's interesting that for me, Tags, I'm ranking him without Duke Johnson. I have him more there as a mid-range RB2. Where do you have Duke Johnson?
Wait, you have him ranked without Duke Johnson as a mid-level RB2?
Well, like more of a high, but like I have him, I guess 14 is higher. Than
okay, I am at 10.
Okay.
I like him. I mean, I like him a lot.
All right. So that's not great, I guess. Sorry for getting everybody off track then. What about the receivers then, Tags? How do you feel about really all of them, Cooks, QT, and Hansen?
Cooks is someone, it's really difficult to judge where we're at with this wide receiver core without Will Fuller, because we've seen two games against the Colts, so it's like two games in one, so it's like I don't really want to take away too much from that. And then the game against the Bears, they didn't have Brandon Cooks, so it was QT, and it's just weird. So now this is the first time that in a non-divisional matchup that we're going to see this happen, and I have to think Cooks is the guy. I mean, the Bengals have been much better against the pass than people kind of realize. I posted a picture on Twitter earlier this week. The Bears and the Bengals defenses next to each other, they've basically allowed the same yardage on the same attempts on the same completions, but the Bengals have allowed a few more touchdowns through the air. So it's not a phenomenal matchup, but Cooks's role in terms of like his target share is fantastic, and I think he delivers a solid floor. I think he could be played as like a low-end wide receiver too.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. What about QT and or Hanson?
QT is more of a wide receiver four. Same thing with Hanson. The reason that you kind of like him is because you're like, all right, this is a pass first team. Like they don't run the ball particularly well, but the Bengals have allowed, I think it's like 4.9 yards per carry this season. So it is a matchup that I do like David Johnson. So maybe they don't throw as much. And I think there's only been, if I'm not mistaken, there's only been one game where Deshaun Watson's thrown the ball more than 40 times. So it's just weird how it all works out. But I don't think that either of those guys are must starts in this matchup, especially QT, because QT is Mackenzie Alexander in the slot, just got done shutting down Juju, getting him negative points in some leagues. Mackenzie Alexander's been their best cornerback this year. So while Hanson, you're a little worried coming off that 3-target game last week, but at the same time, I mean, do we see David Johnson getting 11 targets again? And if not, then they have to go somewhere. So I think Hanson is like the wide receiver 4-5 territory.
Yeah, it's break down how you feel about Giovanni Bernard in this matchup.
Oh, man, I really do not want to start Giovanni Bernard. We've seen him in plus matchups against Dallas just 2 weeks ago. We were all excited, or some of us were excited about Giovanni Bernard. I was not one of them, and it paid off. And then now when everyone in the world fades Giovanni Bernard against Pittsburgh, he comes out here and puts up a dominant performance. I don't want to buy into it. Week 16, I don't want to buy into it. I've got him as a mid-range running back 3 this week.
How about you, Tex?
I have him as a back-end RB2 this week against Houston. I think Houston's so bad. So bad in every facet of the game. You know, and if Ryan Finley's under center, it might actually be a good thing for this offense. It just seemed like they had a little bit more confidence last week. I can't sit here and pretend that guys like Jeff Wilson, I'm guaranteed a whole bunch. I'm not guaranteed with Kenyon Drake. Ezekiel Elliott's been pretty bad, and I think that even if he returns, they're going to be mixing in the carries. So there's risk with a lot of guys in that territory. So I think as like, you know, RB22 range, I think that's where I'm going to wind up with Bernard.
And Tags, you said you're pretty good here with T. Higgins, regardless of if Boyd plays, right?
Yes, I like T. Higgins quite a bit in this matchup. And by the way, real quick, so every team obviously at this point has played 14 games. The Texans have allowed 17 different running backs to finish as the RB21 or better.
Yeah. Well, that means that Gio is going to finish like 50.
He's going to finish top 20 twice.
Yeah. This is just terrible. Gio Bernard. Yeah, it's the way you feel about Gio Bernard. And especially since I recommended him to so many people against Dallas, and it was just like the one fumble and then done. And then he just goes off against Pittsburgh. I agree. I don't want to even rank Gio Bernard off my rankings.
I mean, I get the matchup. I like Tags' matchup. Yeah, I get the matchup for sure. But there's a trust factor here as far as where people land in my rankings, and I just don't trust them.
Yeah, for context, I have actually ranked Gio Bernard, and he is currently 26th. I don't know where he's going to end up, but that's where he is right now, which makes me, you know, feel like I can tolerate it. And so, Tags, where do you actually have Higgins ranked?
T. Higgins, I have at wide receiver 32, if I'm not mistaken.
And Yates, what about you for Higgins?
I have him at 43 right now. I can make the case for him to move up, but yet it's more so of like I have a really... we have a sample size to go back on of Ryan Finley, and it's not great. So I don't want to read into last week's performance too much. And again, 13 overall pass attempts. So there's really not a whole lot to read into here. He does get a bump up if Tyler Boyd misses, but still, this isn't an offense that I'm really excited to tie myself to in championship week.
Broncos visiting the Chargers. We mentioned Melvin Gordon. Tags, just a mid-range RB2 for you?
Who's that?
Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, he's in there. I mean, as frustrating as it is, I mean, why should we expect them to change now? I mean, Melvin Gordon continually outperforms Philip Lindsay, and it has been that way for the past, you know, month and a half, but they continue to give Lindsay the start, and they continue to give Lindsay, you know, double-digit touches, so it kind of caps the ceiling for someone like Melvin Gordon.
Right. Yeah, it's really obnoxious because he's just so much better at this moment than Philip Lindsay, but they basically have the same amount of touches over the last month that they played. So that's obnoxious. Yates, how about the receivers? You know we love the accountant, Tim Patrick, but I feel like this is just not where I'm after he, you know, had a rough game last one. I feel like flex at best. Do you agree?
I just finished saying with the Cincinnati Bengals that this isn't an offense that I'm willing to tie myself to in championship week. Ditto. Outside of Noah Fant and Melvin Gordon, the wide receivers with Drew Lock playing the way he is, you can't look at these guys, unfortunately.
How about Noah Fant, though? How do you feel about him this week?
Yeah, I've got Noah Fant as a mid-range tight end one. I mean, if there's any receiving weapon that you want to hang your hat on here in this atrocious offense, then I think it's Noah Fant.
Yep. Tags Noah Fant or Dallas Goedert.
Fant.
Noah Fant or Hunter Henry tags.
Fant.
Noah Fant or, man, I'm running out of people. Rob Gronkowski.
Fant.
I love it. I agree with all that. Well done.
Nice.
Let's go to the Chargers. God. Okay, look. You're starting. I'm just mad.
Let's go to the Chargers. Oh, man, I regret this decision.
That's how I feel right now. So you're starting Justin Herbert, but let me give you a couple names here, guys, just because you can see. Yates, would you rather start Justin Herbert or Ryan Tannehill?
I have Herbert right now at 6 on the week. I have Tannehill at 9.
Tags, what about you?
I also have Herbert. I have Herbert at 7, Tannehill at 10.
Okay. We're starting Austin Eckler, of course, regardless. I assume that he's not going to be limited in this one, given that he's had so much time. Keenan Allen has missed practice already. Let's assume, Tags, that it's not a borderline decision, game day decision. We'll find out then, and he's going to be on a rep count. Let's just say, okay, practice is fully. He's good to go. How do you feel about Keenan Allen? Confident in this matchup?
Yeah, you have to build in some risk, even if they say he's going to play, because, well, he walked over to the camera and said, play me, don't sit me, or whatever he said. I have him at wide receiver 10 right now. That builds in a little bit of risk because this matchup is so damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, over the last couple weeks since losing their cornerbacks, the trio of starting cornerbacks for the Broncos have allowed 30 of 41 passing for 400 yards and a touchdown in their coverage. That's in 2 weeks, dude. So, yeah. I mean, it's a phenomenal matchup, and we can hope. If Keenan Allen practices in full, which I'm not expecting, because I don't even know if Keenan Allen will be practicing in full, even if he was healthy, because veterans just typically take a limited practice. That's the problem I have here, and that's why I can't raise him too high.
Yeah, it's obnoxious. I'm very mad about the Keenan Allen thing. Let's go. Yates, if there is no Keenan Allen in this game, or let's say there is Keenan Allen but no Mike Williams, do you have any interest in Tyron Johnson or Guyton?
Johnson would be the one that I would look at. I think that both these guys actually are kind of dart throws where you're just in a deep league, you're plugging them into your flex spot and just hoping that they explode and boom. With Justin Herbert, though, I think it's absolutely possible. You just saw what Josh Allen did to this defense. So I think that, you can absolutely look at one of these guys as a way to kind of supercharge your flex, but they also come with the potential that they absolutely just fall flat.
Panthers visiting the Washington football team. Tags, I feel like this is just collectively the lowest I've had the Panthers wide receivers in a while. So break down how you feel about them this week.
I agree. And it was weird to see an ECR DJ Moore so high. I have him at wide receiver 21, which I think was fair. I mean, it's a wide receiver 2 ranking, so it's not like I'm being too harsh on him. But Washington, I mean, if you look at DVOA, they rank as the number 2 matchup for number 1 wide receivers, which is really weird because they rank as number 2 in DVOA as a passing defense as a whole. But it's basically what that's saying is that if your number 1 wide receiver gets targeted, he's going to be fine. And I think that actually is part of the case. Like, you look at the cornerbacks, like Ronald Darby is not someone that can hang with DJ Moore for a long period of time. So it's more about the pass rush. Can Washington get to Bridgewater? Because if they can't get to him, Moore will get open down the field. Kendall Fuller is somebody that's playing on the other side of the field. He's coming from the slot last year, so he's not really a perimeter wide receiver. But again, these cornerbacks have not been asked to stay in coverage very long because of that pass rush. That's basically what this is going to come down to. And that's why I'm playing kind of like both sides of the fence here with DJ Moore. I'm saying, if he does get time, Moore's going to finish as a top 20 wide receiver. If he doesn't get time, all of a sudden DJ Moore is like a wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. I'm a little bit more worried about Robbie Anderson because he's someone that his targets have been declining a little bit. He has not been used a whole lot down the field. You know, his performances in the end, they just haven't been very good. So there have been just 13 wide receivers who have finished top 36 against Washington all season long. So just short of 1 per game. I think Anderson is a risky wide receiver 3 this week. I have him at 30. So I'm lower on both of these guys than ECR is. I don't know if that's wrong or right, but it, it, it feels like I can't get any higher than I am on them.
Well, if what you're saying is wrong, I don't want to be right, because that's exactly what I'm doing, Tags. Like, I am fading all three of these guys. You didn't even talk about Samuel. I'm fading all three of these guys right now compared to ECR, which has DJ Moore at 17, and it has Robbie Anderson at 26 and Curtis Samuel at 29. I am lower on all three of those guys. I had DJ Moore at 21, exactly like you, Tag. So I think you're spot on with this one. I think ECR is too high on all three of those guys. Yates, what do you think about them?
I'm in complete agreement, guys. I've got DJ Moore at 22. I've got Robbie Anderson at 27 and Curtis Samuel at 30.
Yeah, I have Robbie Anderson at 31 and Curtis Samuel at 32. Just it's not a good matchup. And it's one that I no longer feel, especially Robbie Anderson, as we mentioned, like, it's been a long time since I felt like I can just plop Robbie Anderson into my lineup and feel confident as to what I'm going to get. You know, we've got Christian McCaffrey is doubtful in this one. He's not going to play as we might expect. So if you drafted Christian McCaffrey and you have made your championship matchup, kudos, but you got one more week to get by. How about Mike Davis here, Yates? What do you think? Again, very strong defense overall. So Mike Davis usually kind of in the borderline RB1 conversation given his pass volume, but I imagine you have him lower than that this week.
Yep, you are correct. I have him at 19.
Yeah, that's exactly where I am. What about you, Tags?
I have Mike Davis at 19 as well. And just, yeah, I mean, to expand on that, he's played last week, he played just 53.6% of the snaps. Washington ranks as the toughest matchup for pass catching running backs. There's been just one running back all season who's caught more than four passes or 37 yards. So Mike Davis hasn't been getting done the ground. And if he's not getting it done through the air, it's like, what the hell are we doing here? So he's an RB2 just by default, but you're not excited about it.
Yeah, for Washington, I was really excited for us to perhaps see emergency QB Logan Thomas start at quarterback, and I could add to my love for him, but it does sound like if Alex Smith is unable to play, that Dwayne Haskins has avoided a suspension, he's been fined, he will start. So we'll at least can evaluate this game normally. I'm assuming Antonio Gibson is out here and that you're going to see J.D. McKissic again kind of lead the way, but you guys can tell me either way. If Gibson is in, are you starting him no questions asked, Tags? And if he's not, are you starting McKissic no questions asked?
Yeah, I don't think Gibson's going to play, and I would start McKissic. I have McKissic right now as the RB22, assuming that Gibson doesn't play. I can make the case to move McKissic up a little bit more, to be honest, but I don't know. This is one of those games where it's like, do I really want to tie myself to this, like overdo it? I don't know. I mean, I could make the case to move him to like 20, but right in that 20 to 22 range.
Yeah, it's how do you feel?
Yeah, right in that same range. I've got McKissic right now at 23, assuming that Gibson doesn't play. If Gibson somehow plays, you know, I think he'll be good enough to go, and they're making a push for the playoffs and they're going to need him. So I think that you could make the case to plug him in as a top 20 running back. I wouldn't go too overboard, though. This is a low over under 44.5 points. This is just going to be a pretty gross game all around. So I really don't want to tie myself to it.
Yeah, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to assume that Terry McLaurin is locked in your lineup. And I'm going to ask you about, of course, Logan Thomas. Where do you have him ranked?
Yeah, McLaurin for sure. I've got him as a top 12 receiver this week. Okay. He's quarterback proof no matter what. Logan Thomas is right now at tight end 7 on the week.
Okay, that's too low. Tags, correct it.
Tight end 5.
Yes, that is the correct answer. Tight end 5 is right. That's where I'm ranked. I agree. I love it. I love that we are sitting here. And I, frankly, this is part of the, you know, this job has a lot of great things about it, and we all love him. We all feel really lucky to do it. But the fact that every time Logan Thomas does anything good, I get 30,000 Twitter mentions is really fun.
It is. And this is what, on team. That's what Jonnu Smith was early on in the season for me. Yeah. I just wanted you to get an experience.
I really appreciate it. And I imagine you're not going to be having that this weekend for Jonnu Smith, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Eagles visiting the Cowboys. All right, Tags, you teed it up for us earlier. Name me the quarterbacks who are starting over Jalen Hurts this week.
Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. That's it.
How about you, Yates?
I am not there.
Of course you're not.
I've got, I mean, I still want to start Jalen Hurts. I've got him at 7, but three, goodness.
Yeah, I've got him at 5 right now, but it's legitimately, other than Mahomes, I'm including Aaron Rodgers in this situation, Tags. I can make a case to start Jalen Hurts above everybody except Mahomes, who I couldn't if I had.
For sure.
but legitimately, this is like, I'm like those top five guys. Like I'm just throwing in, you know, Murray and Lamar Jackson, Aaron Rodgers, and Jalen Hurts and Deshaun Watson and throw Josh out. I mean, they're all just, I don't know. I see no downside with Jalen Hurts. Like, I just don't. But seven is good, Yates. That's good.
No, it's not.
I'm glad that you've come around on it. So that's fine. Yeah, that's where we are. And how about Miles Sanders tags? I assume, I mean, in this matchup, you're good to go?
Locked and loaded RB1.
Okay. Yates, you agree?
Yeah, completely.
Ever since Jalen Hurts started, he's playing 81 and 83% of the snaps. So it's like literally the best thing that could have happened for Miles Sanders.
And the running quarterbacks often open up the lanes, you know, for the running back. So it's been really good. So, yeah, it's you agree. I'm sorry. RB1 in the RB1.
Yeah, I've got him RB7. I saw every single running back carry last week. You've got to fire him up.
Yates, are you starting anybody else on the Eagles?
Not if I can help it. Well, I mean, Goddard, you can get away with. Saw 8 targets last week. Zach Ertz saw 7. But yeah, it didn't amount to much production. So against Dallas, you can make the case. Yeah, I think you can get away with Dallas Goedert, but as a high-end tight end too for me. And then Jalen Reagor, I think if you want to hang your hat on 8 targets that he saw last week too, I think you can get there, but yet I'm not playing him as anything more of a flex play. If I had Devontae Parker and Jalen Reagor, I think that would be a tough decision for me to make.
Tags, what about you? Are you starting anybody other than Hurts and Sanders?
I agree with Yates. I think that, so we did a little featured pros for the website today, and they asked for a sleeper start, someone that's like ranked outside the top 100 flex plays this week, and I put Jalen Reagor in there. The Cowboys are just, they're terrible in terms of like defending the wide receiver position. Per target, wide receivers are averaging a third more of a PPR point per target like than they do in non-Cowboys games. It's the best matchup, and it's like by like 2 times better than the closest team. It's not even that close. So it's basically when wide receivers get targeted, that's when production happens. And Reagor has seen 12 targets in the 2 games with Hurts under center. So if you were to give Reagor even those 6 targets, I think he finishes as a wide receiver 3. Now, again, you don't want to bank on that because 6 targets is not guaranteed. But at the same time, I think he belongs in that wide receiver 4 range.
So, Tags, when we talked about the Steelers, we said, I'm really hoping that the starting running back, James Conner, is out, because then I would feel comfortable starting the backup running back. But if the starting running back, Conner, plays, I would not feel comfortable. Can we just take that and slap that right on the Cowboys with Zeke and Tony Pollard?
100%. Zeke was really close to playing last week. Like, even the morning of, he was expected to play. And then all of a sudden, the inactives came out, and it was just like, nope, he's not going to play. Having the week off, this is obviously a divisional match that means a whole lot to both these teams. I think Zeke's going to play, and it stinks because you really can't trust either of these guys, because I think Tony Pollard basically has been earning more and more of a role as the season's gone on, and that's why we've seen Ezekiel Elliott's snaps come down as the year's gone on. So this could be more of like a 60-40 split than people realize, which is why even if Ezekiel Elliott plays, right now my rankings reflect the fact that I have him playing, and I have him down at RB26, and I have Tony Pollard at RB35. So I just feel like it's almost like both RB3 territory, with Zeke obviously the preferred option.
Where would you have Pollard ranked if Zeke does not suit up in this game?
If he does not, I would move Pollard up to probably RB17.
Okay. All right. I think that's basically in the right range. My guess is I'll be a little lower on both running backs than you will if they both play. What do you think, Yates? How would you feel if Zeke does play? And if not, how about just Pollard?
Yeah, if Zeke plays, I really don't want to go near this backfield if I can avoid it, because I do think that Pollard has earned himself a role here. Mm-hmm. I do think that he has earned himself a few more touches in this rotation. And so that's concerning. And with the way that Zeke has looked here, too, I think that you definitely have to be concerned about that. And then if Zeke sits, I think that Pollard becomes a mid-range RB2. I think that you can absolutely start him, but you're kind of hoping that he finds the end zone in this one, which just isn't a guarantee. So I think you're playing with fire there, but I think he's going to see more than enough work.
How about the wide receivers here, Yates? You had Cooper coming off the bad game. You've got Lamb. I assume Gallup is going to play. Sounds like there's, you know, his hip injury wasn't that serious. So how do you feel about the wide receivers?
Yeah, Amari Cooper, I'm just plugging right back into my lineup as a low-end wide receiver too. I don't want to read a ton into last game. I think that, you know, he has the Darius Slay matchup. Slay didn't play last week, did he?
Nope.
Yeah, so that's a concern. Yeah, that's something to monitor as we move throughout the week. But assuming that Slay plays, then he has that to worry about. But Cooper has been so consistent for your lineup up to this point of the season that I think that, you know, you just continue to plug him in as a low-end wide receiver too. CeeDee Lamb, a low-end wide receiver 3 for me. I think that he's bringing a safe floor, but yet not someone that I think brings a ton of upside, but I do like his corner matchup up against Nicole Roby Coleman. And then Michael Gallup is just off my radar. I know he got the touchdown last week, but I don't want to read too much into that. He's been so inconsistent. I'm not playing with fire in week 16.
Disagree with any of that, Tags?
Yeah, play Cooper. CeeDee Lamb, he's fine. I would like him more, obviously, if Gallup were out. But Gallup, the crazy part about it is that Dalton's been back for five weeks now since he came back from COVID and all that. Michael Gallup leads the team with 35 targets. Cooper has 32. Lamb has 31. Obviously, Cooper has been the one that's produced the most, but I don't think people realize just how many targets Michael Gallup has gotten. And if Darius Slade does return, then that would leave Kevon Seymour covering Michael Gallup, and that's a plus matchup for him. So he would be a sneaky guy. If he were coming back to the if he came back to practice in a full capacity and they said that there's no lingering effects of that, I could see Michael Gallup having a bigger game, just considering the targets he's been getting. But as of right now, I have him around wide receiver 50. So it's not like I'm crazy high on him, but it's more of like a dart throw. If you're looking for a guy that's on waivers, I think Michael Gallup is out there in waivers. And if you're just looking for a guy that has a plus matchup, he does.
Yeah, I've got him 46th right now. And in ECR, he's 64th. So I don't know whether or not
I don't have him that low.
Yeah. So, my guess is that maybe some people aren't ranking him or assuming he's not going to play. Again, there was optimism around his injury, so let's hope. But, yeah, I do agree that in a pinch, you can get away with him. Let's go to the Rams visiting the Seahawks. Tags, you're worried about DK Metcalf, but if he starts, even in the tough matchup, you're starting him, right?
You have to. It's one of those things you just kind of got to deal with it, and it is what it is. But I have him ranked in wide receiver 2 territory this week. I think best case scenario is a game where he catches 6 balls for 75 yards and a touchdown. I think that's best case scenario, and that it would be teetering on wide receiver 1 territory. So I think just you're going to play him, but you're going to dial back expectations a little bit.
And Tyler Lockett, you mentioned earlier, what, borderline wide receiver 2?
I have him at wide receiver 28, so he's in wide receiver 3 territory. But if you're playing DFS or something like that, I think he makes for a good contrarian play because people have finally just given up on him. But he does have the better matchup than DK in this matchup.
All right, Yates, let's go to the running backs here. You're good to go with Chris Carson. Obviously, a little disappointing last week. Carlos Hyde gets the touchdown on that long run, but you're going back to the well on Carson, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I think you got to just continue to plug in Chris Carson. It's a tough matchup, so I'm dialing back expectations, but I've got him as a mid-range running back too. I think you play him.
Okay, and Yates, you've been, if memory serves, kind of correctly fading Russell Wilson a little bit in the tough matchup. So we mentioned earlier with Baker Mayfield against Russell Wilson. Where do you have Wilson ranked this week?
I have him at 17, guys.
That is low. It's hard for me to really argue against the Tags. Where do you have Russell Wilson?
That's the thing. It's hard to argue against it, but it's the idea when I do my rankings. Now, sure, what I look at and I'm like, oh, median projection is that he's going to be like QB 18 or something like that. But then you sit there and you ask yourself, you say, would I tell someone to start this player over Russell Wilson? Could I tell someone to start Mitchell Trubisky over Russell Wilson? I don't know if I could ever do that. I'm going to be honest. I mean, that's basically, and that's why I have Russell Wilson right now at 14. So, I mean, I don't like him this week at all. I think, and as I mentioned with DK Metcalf, I believe that if Russell Wilson has a great game, in this game, I think it amounts to low-end QB1 numbers. That's a great game. So
yeah, I mean, the good thing with Wilson is he will probably, even in this matchup, offer you at least something of a little, the 30 yards rushing or whatever, that he's sort of been adding on every single game. That offers a floor that you don't really think about, but it's there. But I agree, Tags, that's exactly what I do. I make my projections, I see where it is, and then I go through and I say, when I get asked this question, unless, am I going to be able to say, yeah, start Mitchell Trubisky over Russell Wilson, and I'm not at this point. So I have Wilson right now at 12, but that's the thing, Yates, I can't argue with 17. Like, I really can't, because I don't want to start Russell Wilson if I can get away from it. For the Rams, Yates, good with Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods?
I'm definitely good with Robert Woods. Cooper Kupp has just been so inconsistent this year, so I've still got him inside my top 24. I'm not fading him too much, but yet I've got Woods at... Oh, where do I got Woods? I've got Woods at 11, and then I've got Kupp at 21.
Okay, that's basically where I am. Tags, break down the running backs, though, for me, because obviously, got Daryl Henderson. You mentioned him a little early. And what about Malcolm Brown as a flex play?
Yeah, this one, it's really difficult to like say anything with like solid like evidence, and because it's a very small sample size that we have with Cam Akers out of the lineup. But it was Daryl Henderson's show when that happened. I kind of went through it and I looked at it and I said, all right, let's look at the times. There were five games where Daryl Henderson has finished with more than 10 touches this year. In those games, he's totaled at least 68 yards in every single one while producing 19 plus PPR points in three of those five games. So that's obviously good. You look at the matchup against Seattle. They've allowed the 11th fewest fantasy points on the ground, but have allowed the fifth most fantasy points through the air. So it's like, all right, well, what do we do here? You go to the last time these two teams played and you say they scored three rushing touchdowns against Seattle. This is a trend. I went back and I looked at from when Sean McVay started coaching this team against that Pete Carroll defense, because it's still the same scheme, still the same offense, whatever. And check this out. From 2017, the touchdowns by Todd Gurley in those games, 4, 3, 1, 2, 1, and then they had three with the running backs in this year's game. So clearly, once they get down the goal line, it seems like they're going to go to their running back. So Daryl Henderson has probably got a good shot to score in this game. Malcolm Brown, he's kind of been capped out at like 10 touches. So he's more of like a high-end RB4 that you can play, just hoping that he finds the end zone. He actually scored two of the rushing touchdowns against them the last time they played. But this could be more a thing that it's just like a scheme versus scheme thing. And Sean McVay knows once they get down the goal line, what Pete Carroll basically prepares for and what he knows to do. So I do like Daryl Henderson as a mid to low end RB2 in this game.
Yeah, right now I have Henderson. My projections came out at 26, but I really want to rank him higher because I think that's too low. I've got to really go through it a little bit more. But yeah, I think he's a guy who you can start in this matchup and feel okay about it and not worry too much, even though you're in your championship. Titans visiting the Packers. We know Devontae Adams. We know Aaron Jones. We know Aaron Rodgers. Of course, after that, it's just Robert Tonyan, and I feel like Robert Tonyan's just kind of locked and loaded in your lineup. Yates, you agree?
Yeah, completely. 56-point over-under. This is a game that I want the receiving weapons. I like, and here's the thing I want to get your guys' opinion on, because I'm having difficulty ranking these guys, of Allen Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I think that one of them is going to have a good game. I just don't know which one. And I'm willing to bet that it's Allen Lazard, but yet at the same time, I don't feel super confident on that. So I wanted to get your guys' opinion.
I have Lazard ranked 10 spots higher. So if I have to go with one, I'm going with that. But it's a little bit like I said with the Rams tight ends against the Jets, where it's like, I know one of them probably is going to have a big day. I just don't know which one, so I'm probably not starting either. What about you, Ted?
To be fair, it's probably Tonyan is the one.
That's true. That's true.
Valdes-Scantling is too risky. You're not going to play him in the lineup. You just can't do it. I mean, I know that he had the 6 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown, but on the other sides of those games, there were 3 0 catch games, like three. And that's that. You can't do that. You can't do that to yourself in the championship. Allen Lazard has not offered a much upside since he's returned to the lineup, because I think that you're seeing Robert Tonyan get some of those targets over the middle of the field. And on top of that, they did bring over Desmond King from Los Angeles to play the slot. He's done a better job than they were. So I think the correct answer here is just Devontae Adams and Robert Tonyan. Yeah, Tonyan has been stupid good. I mean, in terms of like any target, that's, it's almost like Michael Thomas last year, right? Where you knew if Michael, so hey, we're projecting Michael Thomas for 10 targets. Okay, he's going to catch 9 or 10 of them. Right. That's Tonyan. I think 6 balls that have been thrown his way this year have hit the floor. And that's just chemistry between those guys. I think that there's, and Aaron Rodgers, so I just want to be clear about this. He is the type that he does hold grudges. Like, he knows things, and he does not like the fact that Robert Tonyan was snubbed for the Pro Bowl behind Evan friggin' Ingram, which is the stupidest. I don't understand this at all, dude. But Robert Tonyan is someone that I'm playing. Dan, my question to you, being you know, the Logan Thomas fanboy and all, would you start Logan Thomas or Robert Tonyan this week?
Robert Tonyan. I have Robert Tonyan right now for
you. You are kicked out of the club.
Oh, but I invented the club.
I started the club. That does not, that does not mean that you are not, you're not able to get kicked out. That does not mean that.
That's a fair point. Okay. Fine. See you, Logan Thomas. It was a great run. I really liked it, but I guess I have to root for you to score fewer points than Robert Tonyan this week. My bad. Okay, let's go to the Titans. You know, of course, Derrick Henry. You know, of course, AJ Brown. Yates, Ryan Tannehill. Is he just in your lineup at this point?
Yeah, I think you look at his recent fantasy finishes, and it's actually kind of crazy to go back. So you look at week 11 against Baltimore. He finishes the QB6. Week 12 against Indianapolis was the QB9. Then week 13 against Cleveland, quarterback 3. Week 14, quarterback 19, that was up against Jacksonville, where Derrick Henry took, you know, took over the show. And then quarterback 3 last week. I think that you just got to continue to plug in Ryan Tannehill right now with his receiving weapons. I think you got to look at him as a QB1 for sure. I've got him at 9.
Okay. That's below Jalen Hurts, to be clear, right?
It is.
I just want to give you every chance that you can to pump up Jalen Hurts. Tags, how about Corey Davis here? In your lineup, no questions asked?
Yeah, I don't know of any situation that would say, okay, let's just try and pick the two games this year where Corey Davis has not performed for fantasy teams. Right. Green Bay has been a tough matchup for wide receivers, but at the same time, I mean, you have one of the most efficient offenses walking in there. There's a reason this game has a high total on it. I am worried about the play count a little bit, though, just because Packers opponents average a league low, I think, 60 plays per game.
Why do you think that is, Tags?
Because they control the clock. I mean,
legitimately, if he snaps the ball before there's 2 seconds left on the play clock, yep, Aaron Rodgers, it's like a miracle.
Yep.
He just takes down every time.
And they're very efficient, too. Like yeah, he's completing a lot of passes, and they run the ball effectively. You know, that Packers team, they're hiding a lot of deficiencies on defense because they're taking that long. They're giving their defense that time on the sideline because they're not generating a whole bunch of pass rush. But, yeah, I mean, the hope that the Titans have here in this game is that they jump out to a lead early, because that will open up so many floodgates.
Yep. Yep. Yates, you know, I got to ask it. Starter sit, Jonnu Smith.
He's now back in at least the conversation based on his performance last week. 5 targets, 5 receptions. I forget the yardage off the top of my head. But I think that you can look at Jonnu. If I am projecting that, you know, Tennessee's going to have to throw the ball a little bit more than they have in recent weeks. But again, I'm not going crazy here with Jonnu Smith. I've got him as a high end, a mid range tight end too. I think he's just kind of grouped and clumped together with a bunch of these other guys.
Yep, I'm there too. Let's finish up with the Bills visiting the
Patriots. Do we have to?
Yes.
This is like the worst way to close out a podcast.
Why? This is so exciting. You bench all your Patriots and you start all your pass catchers on the Bills and then you go home.
Yeah, I'm not kidding. So I always do the structure to the primer, and I like write out all the games. I put all the names, and I got down to it and I was like, the last freaking primer is going to be the Bills at the Patriots. So I actually refused to write it up last. I actually wrote it up. It's one of the middle games, because I was like, I'm not making this the last thing I
wrote. Last then?
It's terrible.
What did you choose for the last? Yates asked.
The last one is actually that I'm going to do is going to be the Packers game.
All right, guys. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to skip this game and we're going to go do the Packers-Titans game again. So we can just... Is that okay with everybody?
Totally.
Okay. You have to do this, Tags. This is your job, okay? Sometimes it's not all fun and games. Josh Allen, you are starting. Stephon Diggs, you are starting. Starting Cole Beasley, Tags?
Yes.
Okay. Yates. I'll stick with Tags on this one because I do want to say, assuming John Brown plays, Tags, you mentioned waiver wire. You were looking at him a little bit. Are you recommending him as a start in this game if he plays?
I have not seen enough in practice, but no, I think you made the point on the podcast. There is no way that you could play him with any confidence. So I'm just going to say no. And honestly, I don't even know if Gabriel Davis would be a play. I just don't think the Patriots are going to hang with them at all. So therefore, it's like, are the pass attempts really going to be there? So no.
I think they will. I think the Bills are going to pummel them into the ground. They've got
That's what I think too. And we were talking about it on the Betting Bros NFL podcast, and I was like, I don't know. I think the Bills are going to win this game.
They've got 20 years of aggression built up. They're just going to beat the crap out of them.
They are really just going to go after it. Absolutely. So, well, let me ask you something. Yates, what about the running? You know what's annoying, guys? When you fade Devin Singletary, even compared to ECR, right, which isn't hard, and then he gets that meaningless
late touchdown. Like, same, dude. Same.
Just a knife. So how do you feel, Yates, about the running backs?
These are both back-to-back for me as mid-range running back 3s. I don't want to go near them.
Yeah, me neither. Tags, I assume you agree?
Yeah.
All right. For the Pats, I'm going to ask it, Yates, anyone, even potential start on the Pats?
Myers is the only one that I think you can consider, and I really don't want to trust him. So I've got him at like 50 in my wide receiver rankings this week. Otherwise, no, stay far away.
How about you, Tags? What about the running backs? I mean, if Harris plays, if he doesn't play, Sony Michel? No?
I mean, if he plays, it's like, how much does he play? That's the part we don't know about. I mean, I don't know, man. Sony Michel played fine last week, and that's why I think this team is just going to split the carries. I would rather not play any of them, to be fair.
No, I agree. I just got to ask a question as the host, so I think we're all in agreement. Start all your Bills pass catchers, bench everybody else, and Yates and I will go bet our mortgages on the Bills to cover 7 points. That's where we are. All right, guys, that's it. I know we went long because I wanted to make sure that we were covering as much as possible for our last Start Sit Show. Yates, this was your last podcast for the 2020 NFL season. You'll do more, of course, as soon as we are, or for the 2020 fantasy season, at least. We'll do more next week. Tags, you and I have one more, the recap show on Sunday night, but I will say that it has been a pleasure doing these podcasts with you guys. If you're listening, I hope everybody found enjoyment. Yates, I'm sorry I waited until now to tell you about the yeah thing because I knew it would just completely mess you up for all future podcasts. But now I feel like you get a little time.
I just want to say that some people think that we stopped doing podcasts in the offseason. Do not stop listening. Because seriously, one of my favorite shows that we have of the year, like legit, it might be my favorite show, is when we do the award show. That's going to be next week. So you guys, just even if you're done with fantasy football, it's okay. Tune in, learn some stuff throughout the offseason. You're going to be more prepared in 2021 drafts.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Next week, of course, we'll still be doing DFS shows, of course, as we get you through even into the playoffs. And you'll hear another one, whether or not, I don't know if it's out before this one or not. Tags unavailable. So we filled in with the great Joe Pisapia. So that'll be great. Again, no Dan and Kyle in the morning, though, on Friday. Okay, everybody, if you celebrate, I hope you have a wonderful Christmas. Thanks so much to FanDuel. Remember, guys, sign up for FanDuel. You can get a 20% match on your first deposit up to $500. Use our code FANTASYPROSPREMIUM. You will also get 6 months of Fantasy Pros Premium. Tags and I will be back doing our Sunday night recap show in just a couple of days. Until then, enjoy your weekend, enjoy your holiday, and I'll talk to you then.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.